We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Glad to welcome you back to the Crimson Tide Sports Network. And welcome to the big picture as we take a national view of Alabama football. That's brought to you by Legacy of Hope Alabama. Saving a life has never been easier, as you can register online at legacyofhope.org to be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Give the gift of life by becoming an organ donor today. Well, the college football world turning its attention to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, because the Crimson Tide are welcoming in the third-ranked Georgia Bulldogs, Alabama ranked number two, and anytime you get a matchup like that, you kind of expect College Game Day to be there, and College Game Day will be in Tuscaloosa this weekend, hosted by an Alabama alum, Reese Davis, who joins us now from his home. Reese, it's great to see you. How's everything going?
Hey, everything's great, Roger. Hope you're well.
Certainly am well, and it's glad we get to say that College Game Day is coming on campus. As the summer was going along, were there points where you thought maybe College Game Day would be in Bristol only for the year, or were you hopeful that you could have some travel like this?
Well, that was always the plan, to have travel and to try to keep the integrity of the show as close to normal as possible. I know it's not exactly the same without crowds being in attendance behind the set. But there was talk for a while that Bristol could be an option. But as it turns out, travel to location, and for the few of us who live in Connecticut, it was a little easier to go to site, oddly enough, than it was to bring everybody to Bristol. So, and also that's more in line with what the show is all about and always has been. So that was always the first priority. Staying in Bristol was a contingency plan that we evaluated early in the summer. But as we got, and we were ready to do that and remain ready to do it, but hopefully we won't have to, and thus far we haven't had to. So some pretty strict safety protocols have been put into place for us, not just those of us on the set. We don't travel with as big a crew as we typically do because of the pandemic, but still, you know, there are still probably 60 people, you know, 50, 60 people rather than 100 that are traveling. So we have to go to great lengths to make sure that everybody is as safe and protected as possible. So our crew has done a remarkable job up to this point, and hopefully we can continue to keep everybody healthy.
Yeah, and the show's been a lot of fun. What we've been able to watch of you guys inside a lot of stadiums, Coach Corso on location from his home. Just what have you been proud about the last several shows you all have had?
I think just that we've been able to deliver the intensity and the type of passion, which is a little bit overused word in our medium and our profession, I think. But we love what we do. We love talking about football. And while we certainly miss the energy that we derive from the instantaneous feedback that you get when a crowd boos when they don't like what you say or cheers when they like what you say, you miss that. But we haven't lost the fire to talk about football, and I've been most proud of that. Also very proud of the people behind the scenes, because this is not an easy undertaking. We have a control room on site, a smaller one that just handles the cameras that are there, that are like last week, that were in Clemson and that will be in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. And then our full-time director and producer who typically travel with us, they're operating from a control room in Bristol. And so there's communication between the two trucks, or between the control room and our truck, which is, you know, smaller than normal. And between us, the producer is talking to me from Bristol. You know, you have to deal with delays a little bit, even though that's pretty quick, but you have to find your timing on getting the sound and bumps, which for most people probably know bumps are the last thing in the segment that you're sort of teasing what's coming up. And if there's a sound bite being played, you have to try to hit it. And sometimes the, you know, that little things that TV people notice maybe more than people at home, that, you know, I've stepped on sound and stuff like that, and guys have talked over each other a little bit because of delays. But, you know, the general rule of thumb that we've had for talking over each other is that if two people are in different sites and both are talking, power through, and if neither one of you will yield the right of way, then I will step in and determine who gets to go. But the guys have been great with that for the most part, and it's been minimal. And I really think a lot of people are kind of used to seeing it because it's sort of the way television is right now during this pandemic era.
I know you guys are still planning for your show coming up on Saturday morning from Tuscaloosa, but anything special in store, knowing what matchup what we have in Alabama and Georgia, and anything you hope to show off from Tuscaloosa coming up on Saturday?
You know, I think that obviously there will be a great deal about the recent history between Alabama and Georgia, and I sort of gave the guys a little bit more depth. I said, all you guys know about 2017-2018 seasons. I said, but it goes back a little farther than that. It goes back to Namath making his debut against Georgia and Dooley making his debut against Alabama, and the hook and ladder play that beat Alabama, you know, in the 60s, and the Mike Shula drive in the 80s. I said they haven't played often, but they have a rich history of memorable moments. So we will try to capture that. Certainly, you know, talk about Kirby's first return to Tuscaloosa, and the special teams coach at Georgia, I think, might be somewhat familiar to Alabama fans. Scott Cochran coming back. Things like that. We'll have a number of guests from other games, too. We're hoping, in light of LSU and Florida being postponed, that maybe we can talk to Coach O and to Dan Mullen. And Tom Rinaldi has a remarkable feature that he's working on this week that pertains to a young man who's undergoing some struggles and reaching out to Nick and to Najee Harris that many of the Alabama fans probably know about. And Tom will capture that as only he can. And Gene Wojciechowski and I were talking about a script that he's writing about the demise of defense in the SEC that I think is actually Gene has unbelievable dry wit, and I think it's gonna make people laugh when they see it. And then we'll have a discussion about that, about, you know, what is the cause of it? Is it a big deal? Is it purely because of the lack of practice time? Is it athletes? Is it rules? Is it all of the above? That's the answer. It's all of the above, you know. So we'll talk about a lot of those things, and we'll have a really entertaining show, we hope, on Saturday morning. I don't know. I hope people will still watch, because I just droned on and on about the entire show right there. But I promise it'll be worth watching if they'll stick around.
Well, it's always a lot of fun. And for you, what's your week of preparation like, getting ready for the show? Because there's so much college football news out there. You can go as in-depth as you want on the matchups, but how do you get everything kind of manageable for Saturday morning?
People ask me a lot of times how much time you spend on it. I think that's a question you can't answer, because it's more of a lifestyle than anything else. It's sort of being immersed in college football constantly. I'll have untold number of conversations with Jim Guerrero, who is our producer. We've got a field producer who's been unbelievable. I mentioned his name on the show last week about getting access, and a lot of people at Alabama know him well, Jonathan Wiley, who has just really done a great job in working with the schools and getting some behind the scenes stuff that people are capturing, you know, on their phones or whatever it might be. I'll have countless conversations with those two guys, particularly with Jim. Kirk and I are in constant communication. I'll check in with my researcher, Marissa Dowling, who is, you know, and like, I'll put her on the case because I'm a little bit OCD about some things. And I'll say, look, I know this is right. Will you double check me and make sure this is right? And, you know, and she does that. She brings great ideas every week. And of course, you know, I talk to the Bear regularly. So it's sort of, I think the best way to describe it, it's like a giant constant communication among a core group of us, sort of formulating the direction of the show and the discussion topics. You know, we don't use a prompter and we're not scripted. We have an outline. We call it a rundown. Some people I know in some worlds like to call it a format, but you know, basically it's an order in which we're going to discuss things and when tapes are going to appear. But you know, we don't have, you know, some script where everybody's decided exactly what they're going to say. So it's really the best way to prepare for it is to be immersed in it so that no matter what someone says, you can contribute to the conversation. And that's, you know, that's kind of how I approach it every week. But it's, I always say that I would be a terrible plumber or insurance agent or, you know, accountant, because I'd be spending all my time, you know, reading and talking to people about college football. And I'm fortunate that I get to do it for a living.
I feel the same way. Well, you get to do it this week on the campus of your alma mater, the University of Alabama. And I know you've had the chance to come back over the years and host College Game Day from Tuscaloosa. But just what does it mean to you every time you get to come back here?
I'm really proud of my association with Alabama. I think in my role that nobody really cares where I went to school. And I get a little grief every now and then, why don't you represent more? And, you know, and when people do find out where you go to school, they say, aha, I knew you were a homer. You know, so you can't win with that. But my charge, and I think the best way to represent the university, is to be fair and to do my job as well as I possibly can and to try to be, you know, make assessments and judgments. When they're good, I say they're good. And when they don't play as well, I say they don't play as well. I think that's the charge. But when you go back, there's always that great memory of not only the time that you spent on campus, but if you grew up in the state as I did, you know, the first time that you got to go to a game, the memories that you have of what your connection as a fan, especially as a kid, I think, where a lot of us established our love for a particular school or team or for college football itself. You have the memories of those great moments and games that you enjoyed and shared with family or friends, you know, your dad or, you know, family members or people that you lived in the dorm with, and, you know, things that bring back really great and cool memories. For instance, when we were there last year for LSU, I saw a couple of buddies of mine that I don't believe I talked to a little bit, but we lived in Patey Hall together, and I don't think I'd seen them since we graduated. And so they came over to the show, and, you know, I was able to, you know, we got them some passes, them and their kids, to be close to the stage. And it was, you know, it was really cool to be able to visit with them afterwards and, you know, have a couple of chuckles and laughs and stuff and remember the good old days or bad old days, as the case may be. So you have all of those types of memories when you go back to your alma mater, I think.
Well, we'll let you go on this. It's Alabama against Georgia coming up on Saturday. Just what intrigues you the most about this matchup? I'm not going to ask you about the headgear on, but just what are you looking forward to the most with this football game coming up?
I think, you know, it's really just to see there, you've got strength against strength. I mean, the Alabama offense, well, and I think Alabama fans are sort of conditioned to look for things to fix. You know, that's probably sort of just the nature of being a fan. You know, sort of lost in that very poor defensive performance on Saturday night. And credit to Ole Miss, they had a great offensive performance, but still poor defensive performance by Alabama. Lost in the fact that I don't know that I've ever seen an offensive performance that was that close to perfection. The stat that blew me away more than any other, I think a guy from The Athletic dug it up first, is that Alabama was only 41 yards short of the maximum number of yards they could have gained. Mm-hmm. How's that possible? Whoever, the first game I ever saw in Bryant-Denny Stadium, I think Alabama actually had more yards in that game than they did against Ole Miss. They beat Virginia Tech 77-6. I think it was 700 yards rushing or some ridiculous number. Like
833 overall, I think. Yeah, I saw that stat when I was doing post game.
Yeah, that was my first game. That was the first game I ever saw in person. And, you know, so I didn't have the context to understand what I was seeing at the time. But that was as close to, you have in football, at least back 100 years ago, back when I played, you know, poorly on high school football teams, you would have those perfection drills against air. You know, and you'd have to go down the field and how many ever yards they let you make on each play. And you had to do everybody to take the right steps and do everything perfectly every time. And that's, it's hard to do against air. And they almost did it against an actual defense, which, you know, might on occasion be confused with air based on the way Ole Miss has played early. But so is everybody else. You know, I cast aspersions at them. Everybody else has played defense that way, too. So it was a really remarkable offensive performance. On the flip side, Georgia's defense is fast and aggressive, and they can rush the passer and cover, and they're sure tacklers. And, you know, I think that's what I'm most intrigued to see. And obviously you want to see if Alabama's defense is able to step up a little bit and maybe – maybe make life difficult for, you know, Stetson Bennett, who has really played well and is a really cool story for the early part of the season. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, Alabama's offense has been close to perfect. Georgia's defense hasn't been far from perfect. Certainly in this era of football and so many offenses, you might say very well that Georgia's defense has been perfect. I think that's what's really fascinating about this matchup. In addition to the fact that, you know, Georgia doesn't want to say it, nor should they. But, you know, there's a little bit of a, I don't know what the correct word is, fixation, fascination, obsession, whatever, with finally beating Alabama, you know, and getting over the hump. The difference is this potentially could be the first of two. So this is not a winner take all like the last two. You know, this could be just the opening act for a game that we might see again in mid-December.
Well, Reese, we're going to let you go, but thank you so much for all the time you've given us, and we look forward to having you back in Tuscaloosa this Saturday for ESPN's College Game Day. Just all the best in your travels, and thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Roger.
All right, that's Reese Davis of ESPN. Thank you for watching the Crimson Tide Sports Network.